Right. And in terms of like this nonlinear story, this is where we're starting. We're starting with him crawling up the beach. I like that. But you say it's the halfway point of this story also. So how much of this is going to be underwater? Because that's going to cost a lot, especially getting a robot.
So that's actually the best part. To really understand the Darth Vader complex, we have to actually go back to his youth, the first time that he ever tried a Krabby Patty, to kind of justify his journey of why he's come to save the recipe. So we actually start with him on Tatooine. It's a desert planet. There's actually no water there at all. So in terms of water costs, I'm talking zero. I'm talking none for the first, heck, you know, 30 minutes. And when I say first, I mean middle, because, you know, this is his childhood. So
nonlinear. Yeah, we gotta screw around with timeline. The kids like that. It's what the kids like.
Good looking Spike. Wow, what a little audio joke over from Cameron Pearl to start us off. Cameron, why don't you just give us the introduction? Tell us where we are right now.
Well, you were in Bikini Bottom, Jordan's in the bowling alley from Big Lebowski, and the rest of us are just here in our homes.
Here in our homes, bringing you the Comedy Bowl podcast. That's what we're doing from I was in Bikini Bottom, and not the one that you might expect. I don't even know what that means.
Evan's wearing a bikini on camera.
Stop that. Please stop that right now.
It looks fantastic.
We're not having that today. It was a good day.
What we are having today is a little slice of the Comedy Bold podcast. I'm Evan Bold. We already heard from Cameron Pearl. Who else is on the call with us?
I'm Max Herman, a regular around here. You've heard my voice before.
Grr, I'm the big old bear.
And for a special guest, we have cinema enthusiast, West Virginian resider, head producer of
Zebra Mating Call Productions.
We got him, a very busy man, but we got him on a special episode for you guys, the Comedy Bowl podcast. Here is Christian Palmer, everybody.
Hey, everyone.
Ooh. Hey.
Christian, thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to be here with us.
Of course, I know. With the thriving film industry in West Virginia, where there's exactly three people and four bars of Wi-Fi, it's a really great place to be.
Hey, that's one and a third bars of Wi-Fi for each of you. So sounds like you really spread it out.
Very hospitable people, yeah.
We were debating earlier in the call exactly what a zebra mating call sounds like. Christian said he would demonstrate for us, I think, earlier. So
I did not say that. I kind of made it in a zebra mating call, though. It's from what I can tell, it sounds a little bit like probably just a neigh. Like neigh, and that's it. Maybe it comes out like in black and white instead of like
yeah
it comes with images. Whenever a zebra speaks, the black and white comes out of its mouth.
Oh my gosh,
cool.
you heard it here first, jokes.
It's like a horse mating call but monochromatic. Yeah,
in addition to being a fake producer, I'm also a fake zoologist.
He wears many invisible hats around here, folks. Many. And he's going to be putting on one more for us today, because we're going to play a game that we like to call. And Jordan, would you like to tell the fans exactly what game we're going to be playing, since you crowned the name?
Didn't you alt the name? So is it now Pitch Imperfect? That's what we're going with.
I think that's what it was decided.
Evan slowly moved over to the mic, which tells me he has no idea. So tentatively, we'll see. We're calling it for now Pitch Imperfect.
Pitch Imperfect. Wow. Hey. What a good idea.
You only toss it to somebody when you have no idea what the name is. And it happens all the time. Okay, thanks for the setup, buddy.
I was really on that one, to be quite honest. I was thinking to myself, you know, I can let someone introduce the game. I could just really pass it off. I knew what it was called for the first time ever, I swear. It was it was really out of good motive this time.
We all want to believe that. Yeah.
Regardless, though, we're going to play a little game called Pitch Imperfect. This is how it's going to run. Mm-hmm. Christian Palmer, Mr. Head of Zebra Mating Call Productions, is looking to greenlight a movie, brand new movie. But, you know, let's face it, folks, old things sell. We don't like new ideas here anymore. So the movie has to come from some previous ideas. We have to mash up some different thoughts. Our social media manager, our marketing expert, and really just our dear friend, Navarro Peck, hooked us up with these combos. And each of us on the Comedy Bowl team will be pitching our different combination movies to Christian Palmer. And Christian Palmer will be picking one to greenlight for Zebra Mating Call Productions to produce for us. How exciting. Uh-huh. Here's the little twist, though, okay? When everyone's pitching, everyone else on the team, they're their co-conspirers, their pitchettes, if you will. They're going to be behind. They're going to be pitching, assisting wherever needed. So make sure to watch out for that. And Christian Palmer, Mr. Executive, we're going to turn it over to you. You're gonna lead us into this pitch meeting, good sir.
All right, everybody. I got very, very busy schedule. So let's start with Mr. Bowl. You go ahead and go first, buddy. I want to hear what you got for me.
I was really not anticipating.
That's why I did it.
Mr. Executive Palmer, I just have to say, we've been working all day, all night, back in the office on this pitch here. And this one's going to blow it out of the books, okay? It's a coming-of-age story. It's about new beginnings. It's about discovering your true self. It's about standing up to what you fear, okay? And what represents that more than Darth Vader himself? But here's the twist. Now, we've seen Darth Vader. We've seen Darth Vader broken. We've seen Darth Vader beaten, bruised, turned into a robot. The latter. All the such. But what we haven't seen him do is directly confront the thing that is responsible for his pain. The high ground. So, where do we see Darth Vader? He starts in the lowest depths of the ocean. Bikini Bottom itself. And what is this journey that we need Darth Vader to go on? He needs to save the Krabby Patty formula from Shell City. He wants to save it. We're cutting Neptune out of this story. It's a little different. We can't have two major players. That's how it's got to go. But he's got to save the sandwich. Now, how does he do that? He's got to go up, out of the ocean, all the way to the beach, talking the high ground the entire way. Every step of that journey, he's facing his demons. I think it'd be really something special.
I like versus young. However, I've noticed a lot in our new, like, younger, hip and trendy audiences. They like the non-linear story. So I kind of like your idea, but I want to start somewhere else. Give me where you want to start instead, other than the actual beginning.
You know, it's so funny because you saying that, and may I just agree with you, Mr. Executive Palmer? May I just agree? You saying that, I actually want to bring in my head writer on misdirect time linear non-linear writing stories, Mr. Cameron Pearl. He actually had a really nice pitch of where we could start this story, so that way it didn't really go in that straight line direction. Cameron,
I think a great place. We kind of brainstormed this together, but I think a great place to actually start this would be kind of like in the middle. You know, like he's really like beaten down over this long journey to get to Shell City. You know, he's just now coming up out of the water, getting to land. He's crawling on all fours, beaten, bruised. You know, I think we could make a really good callback to you know, episode 3, Revenge of the Sith, and have kind of like that shot where he's like crawling up the side.
Okay, quick question. Is this the part? Is he still underwater at this point?
No, this is him coming out of the water onto the land for like the first time. It's kind of like the halfway point. Like, you know, he's really down on himself, but
it's really symbolic.
He
like
needs
it.
To keep going. He needs to find that extra push to keep going.
Right, he's wheezing a little extra than normal, but he's still pushing through, you know?
Right. And in terms of like this non-linear story, this is where we're starting. We're starting with him crawling up the beach. I like that. But you say it's the halfway point of this story also. So how much of this is going to be underwater? Because that's going to cost a lot, especially getting a robot.
So that's actually the best part. To really understand the Darth Vader complex, we have to actually go back to his youth. The first time that he ever tried a Krabby Patty, to kind of justify his journey of why he's come to save the recipe. So we actually start with him on Tatooine. It's a desert planet. There's actually no water there at all. So in terms of water costs, I'm talking zero. I'm talking none for the first, heck, you know, 30 minutes. And when I say first, I mean middle, because, you know, this is his childhood. So
nonlinear. Yeah, we gotta screw around with timeline. The kids like that. That's what the kids like. You know what else the kids like? Right. The kids also like that Tom Holland fella. What do you cast? But here's the thing. He's known as a hero, so we can't have him be Vader. Who are we casting Tom Holland as?
Well, that's actually great. I'd like to call into my lead casting director, Big Bear Jones. He was actually just talking to Holland's manager, if I remember correctly. He had some ideas.
Yeah, it's actually crazy. Tom Holland called me crying and he pitched me a totally different version. So I was like, oh, okay, I see where you're coming from, man. And you know what he said? He said, man, you know, the fans always love when you just throw something into the middle of Star Wars.
Hang on a second. I don't believe you talk as Tom Holland unless you do his voice. Can you do the accent? Because
I don't think I can do that accent. I don't feel like that's appropriate at this juncture.
You hear that this is the sound of money going away.
Hey, I'm sorry, man. I apologize. But anyway, so Tom Holland is crying on the phone, you know. Oh, crikey, God help me. I can't, you know how he does. We all know how he is. Right?
That was good. Thank you.
The little tyke says to me, he says, you know, don't the fans love when you just throw something in the middle of Star Wars lore completely at random and tell nobody about it? Just somebody shows up that you could have mentioned in any of the other movies, but he was never mentioned.
My mentor, J.J. Abrams, told me exactly that.
Bingo, right? And so what I say we do is, you know, he plays, you know, young Anakin's fraternal twin brother, you know, who we've never seen or heard from until now. We're reading to the fans for the first time, right? And, you know, Anakin's mom, you know, gets killed or whatever, but don't worry, because he has a twin brother and they're scrappy together. And his twin brother, all he wants is this Krabby Patty. He wants to get to a planet with water, and he wants to find the water planets and go somewhere where he knows the Krabby Patty formula is slaying. Right?
Oh, the brother dies. Tom Holland dies?
He dies, right? And so we give Tom Holland that. Tom Holland gets to play that new kind of character, right? Like he's gonna die in this movie, right? And it's gonna be this big moment. And that's what's gonna send Anakin on this journey to find that dude with the ponytail who didn't really do much, you know, the dude with the legs
who is the man in the ponytail? Who do you envision playing this man with the ponytail?
You know, it's Liam Neeson did such a bang up job the first time. I think we need to go younger though, and you know who's hot right now? Robert Pattinson. You know what I'm saying? I say we take Robert Pattinson. We get that guy a ponytail.
I think he would appreciate the ponytail.
Everybody's been waiting for Robert Pattinson to get a ponytail. After, you know, he took Batman and we were all like, okay, that's fine, but when are you going to do the ponytail role? You know what I mean?
Question: is Pattinson keeping his accent or is he going to change it?
Nobody can. It doesn't matter. You know, Plo Koon could have an accent. Let's toss it in. Let's mix it up.
This is our pitch, Mr. Palmer. This is our first movie pitch, and we're calling it. The running title right now is Solo, a Krabby Patty story. We're thinking it might really, you know, rebrand on the fact that Solo didn't and underperformed, and we think it's unfair because the title was too good to underperform. You know, Mr. Palmer. So
it is a very good title. Yes.
Yeah. So that's our first movie on the slate lineup to pitch to you today. But we have lots of other ones. We have lots of other ones just ready to go.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. So our studio does. This is a very nice idea for a big blockbustery thing. But what's something smaller we can do? We want to make some easy chump change with those Oscar stuff. Okay. Because that's what we want to see next now. Solo's paying the bills, but this is the one that'll pay the bills.
Understandable. Who would you like to hear from next on our team, sir?
Let's hear from good old Maxi boy, Maxwell Herman. Let's hear from him.
All right, understandable. Mr. Palmer, let me just set the scene for you a little bit, okay? The movie starts, screen is black, and as lights kind of are coming up, you realize that you're in like a dark crowd and everybody's kind of anticipating something. And there's a stage in front of you. Out of nowhere, there's just two big like lines of fire that blow up on this stage. And standing in front of them is a surprisingly human and surprisingly sexy gazelle played by Shakira, all right? This is Zootopia 2, and that is how it opens. But these two big lines of fire that just blew up behind her, these are actually being blown by dragons in the background.
That's and are right. these dragons, are they humanoid, or are they also just regular dragons?
They're just regular dragons, not humanoid at all. They're
are they sexy regular dragons?
I mean, it depends. Are you a dragon? Do you find them sexy? I would say they're fit, you know? They're fit dragons.
Our dragon market is really underappreciated. We think we have a spot right there, so we want to carve into it any way we can. So tell me, what kind of journey does this sexy human zebra or sexy human gazelle Shakira go through?
Well, she's not the main character of the story. She's just how you open up this story because she was in the first movie. Forgetting Shakira, though. So the story really starts as this concert is winding down, right? And they're like back in the dressing rooms, and Daenerys Targaryen is the dragon handler. And she's just a normal human, and that's never explained. And she's surrounded by these human animals, but don't worry about that. And so she's like taking the dragons to their cages, and she goes off and like has a drink with Shakira or whatever. And when she comes back, the cages are unlocked, and the dragons are gone. All right. Somebody's taken them, somebody's let them out. And so Daenerys, the natural thing to do, she joins the police academy. We have a montage of her training to become a Zootopia police officer so that she can find her lost dragon.
I like that. The idea of this woman going through the police force that's really woke right now. We like that. We like
and also Shakira is gonna be her buddy cop. They're gonna go through it together.
Exactly. I like two lady cops. One's a thief, one a gazelle, one a human. I love it. It's the idea, like we have these women, they're rising up, they're taking down the patriarchy, but they're also reinforcing the police state. So I like it. It'll give us money. But Jordan, one thing that we all like now. People really like these anti-villain, like the villains with a good motive. Can you tell us a little bit about that, if there is one?
In this film? Of course. Of course. What do you think? Right? So you know, we see this, you know, this whole thing playing out, and then we see this, you know, really, really weird, seemingly annoying blonde kid, right? Who, you know, wants his shot at the throne of Zootopia. You know what I mean? He wants to rule Zootopia himself, and he stole the dragons, right? So he could rule, but he doesn't want anybody else to be able to hold dragons no more. Because that's wrong. They're oppressing the dragons, right? Oh, this is a free state for animals, but somehow dragons are pets now? She can just have dragons as pets? That ain't right.
Truth to power, man. Truth to power.
Right. That ain't right. We got to liberate the dragons. So I think you know, his mindset with the liberation of the dragons, I think that's really what sets him apart. He's like the Killmonger, but not for Black people, for dragons specifically. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I like it. I like it. Now, is like question for Cameron. Is this a Zootopia 2? Is this going to be animated like the original, or are we going live action? Because I'm seeing live action right now.
Oh yeah, we can definitely push in a live action direction. I think animated assets in the live action could really help us out, and we're also kind of like following that Disney live action remake sort of path. So I think we can really hit it big there.
Imagine cats, but it's a gazelle and it's Shakira. we're ready to go for that at your word, Mr. Palmer.
I like it, but one thing that's going to require, because we have the fact that we have Shakira, we are going to have to record an original song from her. Can you, Mr. Bold, can you give me kind of a sample of what kind of song you imagine Shakira singing for our credits?
Yeah, no, of course, in the credits. Well, I think it's got to be a refrain to their training montage when they're becoming buddy cops. right? Which is really all about new beginnings, and it's a story about rising to the occasion. So, of course, it would start a little something like this. Shakira, Shakira. Ooh, baby, when you run like that, you make a badged woman go mad. Cause that's right, we're gonna catch ya. Cause we are two badass lady cabs. Ooh, and that's kind of how it, you know, and then it keeps.
I can already see her performing it live at Dolby Theater.
Right,
I love it.
Right, and it just keeps kind of going from there. Yeah.
Just keeps going.
Well, tell me, we've got our Oscar player, we've got our big budget player. What's your passion project? This is the big one. This is the one I want to hear the most about.
Sure, I think we have to kick that over to Cameron Pearl. He's been really running the passion category.
All right, we got some big names that I think I want to cast in this, but I think it'll be big. It's a pretty big crossover. All right. So the movie starts with John Wick, played by Keanu Reeves. Gotta have him. That is an absolute. He's fading in and out of consciousness as he.
Keanu
sees...
is actually my father, so we can do that.
Okay. Awesome. Great. Okay. So we see him on the ground. He's fading in and out of consciousness. We get a POV shot, and we see. The camera's like on its side, so it's a little distorted, and we see like an enforcer that just like ransacked his home, like unzip his pants and let loose on his favorite rug.
All right. Do you mean in terms of urine or another substance that he's letting loose?
Oh, definitely urine.
wanted to clarify.
We're trying to shoot for the PG-13 audience. So yeah,
that'll be a good edge for the PG-13.
All right. So then after he sees that, he blacks out again, and then you know, title card. Still on a working title, but we'll get that. It's
working title. I get working title. We'll get that. I love it. That's the fantastic title. I can see it on posters now.
Yep. All right. So then John Wick wakes up. He starts calling around. He finds a newspaper ad about a carpet cleaner. They come over the next day or like the next week, and he tries to pay those guys with assassin coins, like in the John Wick movies. But it turns
what color
out,
are the assassin coins?
What color are they?
Yes, I want. This is a very important question. What color are the coins?
Gold.
Okay. Hoping for a little something more creative, but okay, buddy. Continue.
we can go turquoise. We can go...
Yeah, turquoise. I love it. Keanu Reeves with his badass beard giving out turquoise coins.
Yes, sir. All right. And he tries to pay them with the assassin coins, but the big man comes out. He folds up Keanu's hand like, no, we don't take that. And he's like, this ain't that kind of service, dude. And it's the Big Lebowski.
Oh, no way.
Holy shit. Holy shit. Oh, my God.
That's too funny.
Dude, that's the fucking bitch, bro. Yeah. That's a bitch, dog. Green light. What are you gonna say, Christian? Did he say no to that? You don't even need to go any further, Cameron. I'm already on board.
I love it. That's amazing. I will send that over to our development department right away.
You don't need to hear anything else.
No,
it's that moment. Good.
As far as I'm concerned, that's the movie.
All right.
It's that good.
Actually, quick question. Will it be John Wick lights people up with the Big Lebowski, or will it be he lights up with the Big Lebowski?
Oh, definitely both of those things. Definitely yes. Both of those things. So they'll go on a little journey. John will teach the dude about, you know, like weapons and guns and firearms and like how to fight. And then the dude's going to teach him how to chill out, man.
I like it. It's a nice conclusion to the John Wick saga.
Yep. The last puff.
I just want to know, is it the Lebowski verse or are we in the Wickaverse? Like that changes everything.
There is nothing saying it can't be both.
John Wick has just always been in the Lebowski universe.
Does Walter end up showing up? Okay, I like the idea. I sent it to the development. What else do you all have?
Cameron, that was the best pitch I've heard in my actual
that
life.
Was amazing.
I'm so sorry, Cameron. That was the best pitch I've ever heard. Like, I've heard hundreds.
Where is he going with this?
Was there more to Navarro's prompt for you, or was that the end of it?
Can I just spill it? Is that
yeah, go for it. We got to know.
Because I feel like Please. There was some story behind that afterwards that we missed.
Well, you just said John Wick was roughed up and two enforcers peed on his rug. He must seek out the Big Lebowski for compensation.
All right, okay.
And I kind of messed around with that compensation bit and actually team up and go on a revenge quest together. Yeah.
That is the best movie ever. I swear to God. I swear to God. That is the best movie pitch I've ever heard.
Are there any more pitches you all have for me? The floor is yours.
If you'd believe it, we do have one more. We weren't even sure. It's in its rough draft stages, but we just thought it's too good to not bring to the floor with such an awesome opportunity with Zebra Mating Call Productions. So Jordan, take us away.
Yeah, I literally can't follow that pitch. This will not be as good. I want you to fund that movie. But since we actually recently acquired the Lebowski property,
the cinematic universe continue.
Since the world is ready for the return of the Lebowski-verse, maybe you'll like this pitch. So we start in a hole, in the ground. It's got a nice wooden door. It looks cozy and inviting. And we see a man in a cloak and a pointy hat. He walks up to this hole. And he opens the door, he knocks on the door to this hole and the door is half creaked open, so he steps inside into the foyer of this hole.
Foyer? This is a big hole.
Yeah, man, it's luxurious in there. And he's obviously way too tall for this hole, right? Whoever lives here has to be much shorter, right? Of course.
That sounds about right, yes.
And he looks around, and he sees this interesting rug, on the ground. And then he sees a man sitting in a chair. That man is wearing a luxurious cardigan, not unlike my own.
He's wearing a cardigan for reference.
Yeah, I am. I just want you to know. And this wizard, he says, hey, man. And the guy says, stop. What'd you just call me? And he says, I just said, hey, man. And he says, no. You got to get it right. I'm the dude. And this wizard says, what? And he says, no, I'm the dude. I'm Jeff the dude, the Lebowski. That's what they call me. And Gandalf says, I don't give a fuck. Okay. My name is Gandalf. Okay. I need you to take this ring somewhere for me. You're the only man chill enough not to be turned crazy by the powers of this ring. So I need you to take this to the mountain and throw it in. And that dude, he says, no, fuck that, man. And then Gandalf, he whips it out. He just pees right there on his carpet. And the dude says, okay, fucking get out of my hobbit hole, yo. I'll take the ring wherever. And we follow this journey, as they take the ring to the
mountain. I love this, but I feel like it will be a little bit derivative of the Big Lebowski, but I do like the idea. However, John Goodman, I know, it's John Goodman and Stephen Buscemi, I know they are busy filming in supporting roles for the Shakira project. So, I would like to know who you will have playing the John Goodman and Steve Buscemi characters.
Oh, well, Max was actually, he was actually spitting some real dope facts. He was like, this pitch definitely isn't as good as the John Wick pitch. We're running with that one. But if you want to throw something in there, go ahead. I just suggest, and then tell them what you suggested to me, Max.
Look, we're really looking at moving away from the John Goodman and Steve Buscemi characters. We actually would like to replace those with women. And so we're kind of thinking about doubling up some of our casting between movies, trying to make it a little bit easier. I'm getting Shakira, and I'm getting Daenerys Targaryen, whoever the actor is, on board with this.
And which one is which?
Shakira's John Goodman.
Obviously.
I like it.
Obviously.
Really, a nice variation for dramatic.
I think the young people will really appreciate the women, and women will really appreciate the women. I think everyone will appreciate the women. So
I definitely like it. And into putting into this one ring away, in a similar style to a small fantasy indie I've heard about called Lord of the Rings. It's really small fiction. I don't think anyone's heard of it. But
yeah, what's
in
that?
Relation to this, will there be like in a kind of like Aragorn figure? Who will that be? And I'd like to hear more about this. If there's any one type of B quest.
We gotta have some diversity in there. So I think, you know, and Max is telling me this. He says, hey man, Michael B. Jordan with the bow and arrow. Stop it. Stop it. We'll
we talked at length about this.
just does he have just a bow? Does he just have a bow and a single arrow he just keeps reusing?
He's just good like that.
He has to retrieve it every time.
He's incredible.
I definitely like that. It's a bit more realistic when I hear bow and arrow. I think of a bow and a single arrow.
Yeah.
They like people like realisticness in their fantasy stoner comedies. I think that I definitely enjoy all of these ideas. I see a lot of franchise potential. I also see a lot of critical reception potential. If I have to pick one, it is one of the big two Lebowski projects. I will be honest. Although I will say this. I'd like the idea of having Shakira as Walter. That's a very funny mental image to me. We will keep that aspect. But we will go forward with the Big Lebowski and John Wick and Shakira go get revenge.
That's a fine choice.
Thank you, Mr. Palmer, sir. We won't let you down.
That was my one demand. Shakira also goes on the revenge quest.
We'll dial up Shakira right now and let her know that she just landed the big role. Her manager will be more than ecstatic
and
to hear.
Eben's working on that music, so don't worry.
Evan himself is.
That was.
Evan,
just
I want
the
rat feature. Where's the unique rat feature?
Yeah, who is being featured on the Shakira end credit song? It's Shakira and who else?
Easy B, baby.
Who's that? I've never heard of that.
he's up and coming.
One of his songs. What's your favorite song of his?
Fake fan.
You'll be glad you got him now.
Evan, what is your favorite song of Easy B?
That's an excellent question. I'll probably honestly, Friend Zone is just a real kick ass song of Easy B. Make sure to check that out whenever it drops.
Oh boy. Whenever that drops and wherever Easy B is sold. Yeah.
On the corner
he's
of the OC bookstore.
He's gonna hit it huge in the Canada market. You don't even know.
The Canada market.
Come on.
Oh my god.
It's the reverse Justin Bieber story, all right?
Wow.
And by that I mean nothing is similar. Pretty much nothing.
Not even the opposite. It's just nothing.
Well, we just ran you through some pitches on the brand new Comedy Bowl podcast game Pitchin' Perfect. We also just had the wonderful guest star of Christian Palmer on, head of Zebra Mating Calls production. Make sure to check out Christian Palmer though. Christian, where can we find you? What's your Instagram? Where can the fans see more Christian Palmer when Zebra Mating Call Productions goes live?
So I do have an actual video company, Palmer and Palmer Film and Video Productions. If you have anything in Appalachia or like in the general area of West Virginia you need filmed, give me a call. And I'm also on Twitter with full of good shit posts and political memes. Thank you.
There you go. What's the handle?
TT Palmer 65.
TT Palmer 65. Is that the same on Instagram or?
No, I don't want to give out my Instagram because I haven't used it in 30 years.
There you go. In 30 years.
I'm sure so you're not 30.
That's an old Instagram.
At the age of 21, I have not used it in 30 years.
9 years before the womb, Christian said, nah. Not bad.
It was done with
considering
Insta.
Instagram came out in 2010. Yeah, I mean, that's an old Instagram. That is certainly old.
Mine was Instagram 0.2. Sure,
sure. He converted from MySpace originally.
Yeah, actually. Yeah.
Excuse me, it was Napster.
Oh, right. All right, this has been the Comedy Bowl podcast, but this has only been the first half of the Comedy Bowl podcast. In the second half, you're going to hear an interview from Hayden Roberts, the hilariously talented and funny, and you're going to hear, it might be a sketch, it might be a stand-up, it might be a recountment of the time she thought she was going to die. I don't really know, and neither will you until right now. Check it out.
Hey, Comedy Bold listeners. First of all, I just want to thank Bold and Bear for having me on the show. I really appreciate it. So you guys are, you're getting a live experience from my car alone in the parking lot. Created some content just for you guys. This is the first time anyone's going to hear it. So let's get right into it. Although it is weird with no audience, it's just like no laughter, just quiet. Well, that's actually how my sets usually go. So let's get into it. I want to talk about kinkiness. Listeners, what would you guys say about yourselves? Do you guys think that you're kinky? Because I think a lot of people abuse and disrespect the word kinky. A lot of people think they're kinkier than they really are. A guy will be like, I'm so kinky, and then he won't even eat a girl out. And let me tell you something. Please, write this down. If you think that eating out a woman is kinky, then you are a saltine of a man, okay? Men are not kinky enough. It's disgusting. A man will give your butt a little slap during doggy style, and they'll be like, but you never had it like that. Bitch, that is the only way I've had it. If you're going to spank me during sex, my ass better be so red after that if my dermatologist looked at it, he would diagnose me with eczema. And I hate when guys, you know, I mean, they're trying to be nice, but they say, is this okay? Stop. If I consent to have sex with you, if I'm in the act of coitus with you at the moment, do not ask me if something is okay, okay? If I'm having sex with you, I am consenting for you to give me a near-death experience, okay? I want to meet God when we're having sex. I want God to look at us and use his own name in vain. And it's hard when you're shy and to ask your partner for these things. You know, I don't like conflict, so on one hand, I'm scared, but on the other hand, like, choke me, goddamn. Like, it's not that hard. And I think that everyone is at least a little bit kinky. You know, some people, like me, are born kinky. Some people achieve kinkiness, and some people have kinkiness thrust upon them. And to be quite frank, you know, I've never come through penetration with a man, ever. I faked it. We all have. Lady listeners, how do you feel? Have you come through penetration? If you said yes, it's probably because your boyfriend's right next to you. You know, you're listening with him. It's okay. No, really, it's okay. I understand. You're trying to protect him. I get it. He doesn't deserve it. But I hate when men tell me that. And I tell men that. And they say, well, you haven't met my dick. No. Guys, let me tell you something. Most of the time, your dick is like a Twizzler. Okay? It's just there sometimes. Nobody actively goes to the gas station seeking out a Twizzler for a snack, okay? But if you're at your grandma's house and you're hungry and that's all she has, well, sometimes we just eat to eat. And I really wish, I wish my clitoris had wings. Not my vagina, because she's fucking useless, but the clitoris is the real homie, because my vagina is like Harry Potter and my clit is like Hermione, and everyone loves Harry. Everyone thinks he's the best. You know, he does all the work, but we all know that Hermione is the real hero, okay? If my clit had wings, I would have it fly like the golden snitch, and my little golden clit would go live a better life free from pain, because seriously, why the hell do guys rub it so fucking hard? It is not a stain on a t-shirt, okay? You're not trying to loosen it up so it pops out. It's not a turntable either, you know? You're not trying to get it to play music, so enough with the erratic turning and switching of directions. I feel like just sometimes, like, a guy's fingering me, I just want to be like, wicka, wicka! And then, you know, a guy will try to tell you where your clit is. Like, oh, I'm sorry! If you knew where it is, or you knew where it was, you know, why are you rubbing my inner thigh right now? Anyways, guys, thanks so much. That's my time. My name's Hayden Roberts. Enjoy the rest of the show.
Welcome back. We're on the second half of the Comedy Bold podcast, the Comic Spotlight, where we bring on up-and-coming stand-up comedians to give you a little insight on who they are, what their process is, what they find funny, and, you know, what got them into stand-up.
Mm-hmm.
And let me say that today we have such a funny comedian. She's multi-talented. She goes across the board. She was in the first ever stand-up class that Bear and I met at. Hayden Roberts is on the call. Thanks for being here with us, Hayden.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me.
So you guys just heard some hilarious content from Hayden Roberts right before this break. And now we're going to dive in and see really what's behind the Hayden Roberts mask.
I also want to say, can I just say, instead of a mask, though, she definitely does have light up cat ears on her on her headphones right now. You guys can't see it, but I just want you to know it's really iconic.
It's specifically the Razer Kraken Kitty headphones, the gamer girl headphones of your dreams.
Yes.
That's the ones.
We love it.
We set a specific product on the show. If you're looking to sponsor us, Gamer Girl headphones, come on. Comedy Bold could rock those headphones across the board.
Do they come in bear color? That's what I'm looking for, but
black and pink, that's it.
Dang. I'll have to make do. We'll work something out. I want a special edition.
I think Bear could really pull off the pink ears. I almost think.
I think so. Really.
But let's get away from us. Let's get to you, Hayden. Let's jump in with our first question here. Just to give the people at home a little taste about who you are as a comedian. Why don't you tell us what you would think your comedian dating profile would be? Like, if you were swiping through comedians, how would you say, oh, she's gonna be funny?
Oh, wow. That's a great question. Very interesting. So my dating profile or what I like, what I would choose?
Yeah. Your dating profile.
Okay. I would say very, very physical based, comedy, definitely unexpected, a little bit, you know, not what you think. Sometimes a little bit aggressive, a little bit manic. A little bit like I took like 12 5-hour energies and went off the rails and just started yelling. A little bit like that.
that is perfect. That, I can attest to that. Yeah.
As you say that, I have just these memories
repressed
that I didn't even realize were in my brain flooding back of. I think you had a set talking about font types that was really
good
off your rocker.
It was about font types in watching porn with captions on and the font types.
I don't know how Evan remembered the font types and not that part. And I didn't either. you could have been like, I was like, dude, that was font types that was extraordinary. But yeah, for sure.
Yes.
The subtitle part, yeah.
It was about porn. The one time that Bear and Bold weren't thinking about it. If you go back good and listen God. To our sets, both are about porn on this show. So.
Wow. The best sets are.
Awesome.
Oh,
oh man. Well, Aiden, what's going on with your comedy right now? Where are you at? Like, we just heard your set and mm-hmm. just talked about this extraordinary set from your past. What are you up to these days, though?
Right. So these days, I'm focusing a lot more on sketch comedy. I've taken a lot of classes in it. I'm going to start taking some UCB classes in sketch comedy. Also, a lot of writing. I just added a screenwriting minor. So I've been doing a lot of comedy writing. And I'm working on a screenplay right now that I'm pretty excited about. I'm about halfway through. It's, how do I describe it? Right. The working title is The Book of Being Bi, which is incredibly stupid. It's about a bisexual Mormon girl who goes off to college and a chaos ensues.
I enjoy this. I like this.
Thank you.
That is awesome.
I want to ask, as a follow-up to that, since you've mm-hmm. been saying you've been getting more into screenwriting, you just had the screenwriting major. Do you feel like there's a big difference between stand-up writing and mm-hmm. and comedic?
Oh yeah, I definitely.
What do you feel like that?
Definitely think so. Stand-up is so it's free writing basically. You know, you just it's whatever format it's you know, it's specific to you, you know, one person. But screenwriting, it's very technical. You know, you have to have the right format. You have to have, you know, you write it, you know, you want it to be funny and stuff, but you also have to make sure that all of the actors, you know, they know what the joke is. They have to have all of the, like, scene headings. You have to have, like, the action, like, where you write the action of, like, what the character's supposed to be doing. So it's a lot more technical. It's still a lot of fun, but it's, there's a lot of guidelines you have to follow.
Fair. Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. Well, how do you come up with your material? Like, that's an extraordinary premise. It's kind of fun. How do you, the subtitle porn one, I feel like, speaks for itself, but where do you come up with the rest of your material?
Well, I have like a note, you know, my notes app in my phone. I'll just be walking along. I'll think of something. I'll think, hey, what a great topic. I'll write it down in my phone and I'll just start going off of that. And I was going through last night reading some topics. I have no idea what they mean. The premise apparently I thought was going to be funny, but it's just like one sentence of absolute nonsense. And I couldn't figure out, hey, let me read. Why don't I read some?
Please.
This is great. Fans, we're going to get some live inner workings from Hayden.
Well, I don't even know what it is because it's just sentences where I of ideas. Okay, here's one. This is all it says. Slap a dick like a cat toy. I don't know what that means. But that's what it says. This one just says, I have to finish a paper. This one says, why do men wash their hands like they're afraid the water will make them gay? That's all it says. That's all it says.
Yeah.
So that's some inner workings.
I love when themes appear on this show. I would say the theme of writing down the thoughts that come to your comedic mind and then going back to them later has appeared throughout, you know, almost everyone who's been on this show who really has committed themselves to comedy has talked about how they want to write these things down. But never before have we got insight to what those things were. And I have to say, my notes app with all of my things, mine are just as crazy. I really connect with the fact that we've got all these wide varieties. And I want to ask, do you feel like, so when you write stuff down, how much of what you write in your notes app maybe makes it onto something that actually gets seen by someone?
I would say not a lot, you know. It's I'll usually end up, you know, sitting down writing a set and coming up with stuff, you know, right then and there, and I'll look back to that notes app, just get inspiration, and maybe I'll take one thing, maybe I'll take two things, but really, you know, I don't use it as much as I should. And I think it's mostly because I don't remember what I was talking about, to be honest.
That's kind of funny, though. Dude, you've come up with funnier ideas and forgotten them than some people ever will come up with, period. So that's extraordinary.
They'll never be seen by or heard by anyone. They'll just remain in the notes app forever.
Oh.
They've been banished.
They've been banished. The comedic ideas.
Fair. Well, I sort of want to ask then, as a comedian who's transitioning, right, who's done different types of comedy, and who finds themselves sort of taking their next step, what advice do you have for somebody who wants to either get into comedic screenplay or be a stand-up comic or just be funny? Like what's your advice?
I would say my advice would just be, you just got to go for it. You can't just hold back. Like, I've done like a lot of waiting where before I got into stand up and stuff, I was like, oh, I would love to do this. I have ideas. I would love to do this, but it's just not the right time. It's just, you know, I'm too busy. And held myself back for probably like 5 years and just not creating any content. So really, you've just got to get up and go for it, because otherwise you're just never going to create anything. And you can't be afraid that, you know, people won't like it, because, you know, You never know until they hear it.
That's really good advice.
Which is very true, yeah. I want to ask this question. We're going to switch things up a little bit because normally this is Jordan's favorite question, but it just, I have to know and I want to ask right now. So Hayden, tell me, when you are performing, okay, and we can, this can be sketch, this can be stand up across the board, when you're performing and you have a joke and it bombs, it just gets zero laughs at all. What does that feel like for someone who's never done stand-up before to describe it? And on the flip side, when you have a joke and it just totally lands, really just knocks it out of the park, everyone is laughing hysterically. How does that feel
okay,
for someone who's never done it before?
I would say when you know you have a joke that bombs, it's just like you feel like, I wish I was dead. You're just like, I wish I could drop dead on the stage immediately, and they have to drag me off my lifeless corpse. That's what it feels like, you know? It sucks. But then, you know, you just have to keep going and hope that the next joke will land. And, you know, sometimes it does. And then that just feels like you're like, finally, I have a purpose in life. I deserve to live. Sorry, we're going to get real dark here.
It's a good joke.
The only reason I have to live is for comedy. That's it.
To the people at home, maybe not. Maybe don't take it that far.
Don't take it that far.
That's a strong sentiment, though. It's got a chutzpah. It's cool.
No, that's just, you know, that's what it feels like on stage. You know, it's not that serious. But, you know, when you have a really good joke, it just, you know, you feel worthy.
Well, that's a perfect segue to what is Evan's favorite question, right? Which honestly may be the most important question that we ask people. So, but I want to ask it sort of in a different way. So why does comedy matter to you specifically, but why do you think comedy matters in the general, right? Because it's something you've dedicated so much time to, right? It's something that you are still doing and something that you are obviously passionate about. So why does it matter to you and why does it matter to the world what you're doing?
I think that's a great question. I think it matters just because being able to make other people laugh is just something that's so special. Like, it makes you feel good to know that you're making other people feel good, making them laugh, you know, whether they're having a good day or not. You know, it sounds pretty cheesy, but you know, that's just it, you know. It's just one of the reasons why I love it. Not anyone can do comedy, you know, like not everyone can get up on stage and do it, but it's just something that's always been so natural, I guess, just, you know, making people laugh, or at least trying to.
Yeah.
And so it feels natural to do. And I love seeing the effects of making people laugh. And I think it's important for the world to laugh, you know, especially just where we're at in this world, you know, comedy. It's important that we can all laugh about stuff still.
It's fair. Very fair.
Right. Right. So, and that goes into kind of our wrapping up question, because it is so important for people to laugh, and they should be laughing at you, Hayden. So tell us where the fans can find your stuff. What's your Instagram?
I post on my Instagram once a year. That is it. That is all you're going to get. But if you want to come and look at that annual delicious post, you can find me at Hayden_Roberts with two S's. You will not find me on Twitter. You will not find me on Facebook. I do not like to be perceived.
I feel that so hard. I have one photo on my Instagram. Evans, I was trying to get me to post more. I've never related more to anything any comedian has said on the show. So I absolutely agree.
Yeah, it's just, you would think that as a comedian, I would want a bigger following and stuff, but you know, hopefully you guys will be seeing me on YouTube and Twitch soon. I'm gonna be starting to stream. I don't know what that username's gonna be, but keep you posted.
Well, hey, if anything, maybe your one annual Instagram post will be about the start of your YouTube/Twitch stream, correct?
Great idea, because right, how else right. will the people know?
Right. So, wow. It's amazing to me how much I surround myself with marketing marketing obstacles.
Nobody you know is market friendly. Nobody you know is market friendly. And that's something you've got to accept. Yeah, the market hates me. Hayden, the market will love you once you're on Twitch.
How could they not with the with the gamer girl headphones? What? I mean, come on.
Gamer girl headphones.
That can sponsor us at any time they want. You guys can, we'd love to partner with you. I'd love a bear variety. We'll talk about it.
Bear ears?
Your people can call our people. We're a little busy these days, but if you get in, I'm sure we can get back to you.
Yeah. Well, eventually. Our people is person. Our people is like singular, and their people is like actual people. You call our person that person probably being Evan, but don't worry about it. It's whatever. We'll
It'll
talk to
fine.
You, Razor. Come on, sponsor Hayden, Razor. Let's go.
Yes, please sponsor me. I have no content out currently, but I would love it if you sponsored me on the channel that I have not yet created.
Yes, Razor X comedians. Where's the headphones like for it. Comedians? Oh. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's
not only
like
are we
it.
Offering Razor a sponsorship opportunity of a lifetime, but we're also offering marketing advice as well as product choices. I think really,
maybe we are market friendly.
Okay.
Anyway. Hayden, you've been so gracious. It's been awesome to see you again. You are
our
great friend. And anytime you need a promotion, let us know. We will always promote your content. You are awesome.
Thanks so much. You guys are awesome too.
When Hayden drops that Twitch streaming, we are going to give Hayden a shout out. Be looking for that. We're going to tell you exactly the name of her channel. So that way we can pass that content along. Content creators supporting content creators out here. And
we love it.
And Hayden, I mean, do you have any last words you want to say? Any things you've ever wanted to say on a, it can be out there. Anything you ever wanted to say on a podcast, you could just spit it and go.
I don't know. I've always wanted my own podcast.
It's your chance to the masses. What do you want to share?
Oh gosh, it's so much pressure. I only listen to horror podcasts and like crime podcasts. I don't know what to say. Take me out to the ball game.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages, this has been the Comedy Bold Podcast. Hey. I have been Bold.
I've been Bear.
And we just had on
Hayden Roberts. Yeah.